When the Torah records the reward that is given to Pinchas for his heroic action in killing Zimri and stopping the deadly plague, the Torah goes out of its way to trace his lineage all the way back to his famous grandfather. The Torah tells us, Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aharon ha-Kohen, Heshivis chamasim me'al b'nei Yisrael b'kanoas kenasi b'socham v'lo kizlisies b'nei Yisrael b'kenasi. It was Pinchas, not only the son of Elazar, but the grandson of Aharon ha-Kohen, who turned back Hashem's wrath from upon the Jewish people when he zealously avenged Hashem's vengeance from among them, and as a result, Hashem did not consume the Jewish people out of vengeance. Rashi quotes from the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Sifrei in noticing the fact that the Torah is going out of its way to establish his lineage all the way back to his grandfather. And Chazal explained here, as quoted by Rashi, that members of the other tribes, of other Shvatim, were denigrating and humiliating Pinchas and referring to him as a Ben Puti, the son of a Puti. That is a reference, a shortened version and reference to the name Putiel, which was one of the names of Yisro, who, as Chazal tell us, was his maternal grandfather. His Pinchas's father may have been Elazar, but his mother was the daughter of Yisro. And therefore, the other Shvatim were humiliating and denigrating him by saying, look at this Ben Puti, highlighting the fact that his maternal grandfather was Yisro, and the name Puti and Putiel, as Rashi actually quotes in Sefer Shmos in Parshas Yisro, is a reference to the fact that in the first chapters of Yisro's life, he was mefateh, he fattened animals to Avodah Zarah. We know that Yisro was an Oved Avodah Zarah, he was actually a high priest, before eventually converting and joining the Jewish people. So now, generations later, his grandson has this tremendous act of courage, heroism, and righteous zealotry, and kills Zimri. And yet, members of the other tribes are making fun of him and saying that this is unbecoming behavior, and that the behavior evidently is a result of the fact that he has very impure lineage, that his maternal grandfather was originally an Ovid of Avodah Zarah, and you see that that latent genetic impact is coming to fruition in this terrible, violent, and misguided behavior, having killing Zimri. This is the incredible message that Rashi quotes in from the name of Chazal. And therefore, says Rashi, the Torah went out of its way to establish his ancestry all the way going back to Aaron. Don't think that he just has this quote-unquote tainted lineage. In fact, he is Yichus, his lineage goes all the way back to the most prestigious of all sources, that of Aaron HaKohen. That is the Rashi at the opening of our Parsha. Rav Reuven Katz, in his very beautiful sefer, Duda'e Reuven, quotes and wonders the following. He says, I don't understand. How would this help Pinchas, that now we publicly acknowledge his descendant on his father's side from Aharon? Presumably, the Shvatim who were making fun of him already knew that. It's not like this is some new piece of information that would have insulated Pinchas, from being made fun of. He was being made fun of despite the fact that obviously everyone knew his grandfather on his father's side was Aharon. So why does the Torah writing it, how would that somehow help him and save him from the denigration, spare him the humiliation of the fact that people are making fun of his other grandfather? So Rav Katz explains that, in fact, this is part of a larger point. Whenever we see the action from a leader, or really anyone, we can interpret it positively or negatively. And whether we interpret an action positively or negatively will mostly depend on prior biases and our previous opinions. As a result, we often see, in a given situation, half the people or some large group see it as positive based on their previous opinions or experiences, or another half or another large group of people will see it negatively. So too, says Rav Katz, the same thing happened with Pinchas. Some said, wow, look at what he was willing to do, all in the name of Kiddush Hashem and saving the Jewish people. But evidently, he says, other people were looking at what Pinchas did, said he went too far, how could he do that, that's too violent, that's too extreme. Everyone agreed, says Rav Katz, that this was objectively an act of extreme religious zealotry. But still, the debate ensued. Was his act of religious zealotry and extremism coming from a holy place, a place of Kedusha, that just could simply not bear to see such an act of perversion and public chil Hashem? Or was it, in fact, a completely unbridled and uncontrolled extremism, wholly unbecoming of the grandson of Aharon? And this led them to suggest that it must be that it's coming from Yisro's influence, the other ancestors, the one who were originally idol worshipped. worshippers. Therefore, the Torah is emphasizing Pinchas' yichus and lineage and his connection to Aaron, his grandfather, to underscore the fact that this act of religious zealotry comes from a place of kedusha and holiness. And dafka, it comes from the fact that he was Aaron's grandson and has nothing to do with any Avodah Zarah influence or who his maternal grandfather was. In other words, even someone who is a descendant of, a grandson of, Aaron HaKohen, who's famously the Ohev Shalom, Verodev Shalom, as the Mishnah tells us in Perkei Avos. He loved peace, he pursued peace. Even such a person's grandson, Pinchas, realizes that in some situations, in the rarest of cases, even those who love peace sometimes know that they need a different approach. As, of course, Shlomo HaMelech taught us, yes, often it is Eis Lehov, it is the time to love, but there also are other times where different things are called for, and it is an Eis Lesno. Rav Katz continues by quoting a fascinating and really wonderful insight of the Ksav Sofer to that aforementioned Mishnah in Perkei Avos, where we are told that Aaron was the Ohev Shalom Verodev Shalom. And he notes, as other Mefarshim do as well, why is there a double Lashon? Aaron loved peace and he pursued peace. Isn't loving peace imply that he pursued peace? And the Ksav Sofer has a very original and creative interpretation. It's actually two different things. Not that he loved peace and pursued that end, but rather sometimes he was rodef shalom. He banished shalom. Sometimes he loved peace and that was appropriate and he did everything he could to bring peace, but other times even Aaron HaKohen realized that peace and harmony was not what's called for. Sometimes what's called for is being running away from peace, being rodef it. And in fact, sometimes Aaron needed to do that, and that's in fact what his grandson Pinchas understood exactly in this case. That this was a time not for Ahava Shalom, but for Rodev Shalom. That yes, sometimes you need to pursue peace, but sometimes you need to banish peace. That sometimes in terms of the long-term and ultimate religious goals, that is what was necessary.